Good evening, everybody. Welcome to, good afternoon. Welcome to Pub Table Racers Special Edition. We are coming to you live from Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms. My name is Tim Packman. This is
Warren Brosell.
And we are Pub Table Racers. Come on out here. We're on Brawley School Road in Warrensville, right by Canvasback. Excellent thing. This lovely teak bar we're using today is for sale and for $21.99. And if you come out, well, that's the decimal. Yeah, to the. So come on out, we'll be here till 1, and if you want to get a pool table, a foosball table, today,
half price.
Half price, instead of $1,000, it's only $500. Out the door, it goes. So get that while we're here. Vicky said quiet. I don't know if Vicky's telling us to be quiet. On today's show, we have Warren. Why do we have a bucket of beer?
Says quiet. Are we coming through?
I said quiet on the set.
Oh, so okay.
She was just helping us out.
As long as we got good audio.
Got it.
I'll check it out.
We're good.
Check it out.
Well, we can hear you. As I know that. We can hear you. We're good, everybody. Okay.
All right.
Why do we have a bucket of beer?
We have a bucket of beer because we like to sit around and drink beer and discuss racing and other issues.
So. Which is why this show other issues, which is how this show started, because we were sitting around drinking, we were talking about racing, and Warren says we should do a show like this.
Right.
That's how
I'm having a water first this morning, this afternoon.
Are you? So I'm the only idiot. Okay.
I might have done a little bit too much pub tabling last.
Shocking, everybody! Everyone's like a total shock. Thanks for tuning in. We are here live at Lake Norman Patio Game Rooms. 704-660-0527. Come down and see JoJo. Great items for sale today. And if you're military, past or present, Memorial Day 10% sale is still going on. So Brad kept it going.
Nice.
Just being here. So cheers to everybody.
Cheers.
I'm cheersing water. 12.
Don't worry, I'll catch up.
Yeah, I know you will. Trust me, I know. I'm probably going to be here. Okay, today's show, we're going to talk about charters, the charter system, and we're also
not a boat charter, a NASCAR charter. Tokens or whatever they were calling them for a while. You had a
That tastes delicious.
You had a medallion. Remember? A medallion. I don't know what if it was.
Those in taxis.
In taxis.
But now you're okay. Audio was interrupted, but now we're good. Okay, appreciate that, Vicky. Okay, in addition to that, we're going to talk road courses. Like them, love them, hate them. We want to hear from you on that. And then we're going to bring on our number one fan, Tom Beatty. You know what? Let's just bring him in.
All the way
from New Jersey. Drove down yesterday.
Big guy.
Tom's a tall guy.
Tall.
He's out of the shot. There you go. Sitting around down there.
All right.
Perfect. See, you fit right in there.
Yeah, I think that.
And you've got we gave you the cushy chair, too.
He came down.
Right in there. So the man's 6'6". And
I'm sitting on 3 phone books right now.
For those of you kids that don't own a phone book,
how about that? What's a phone book?
Okay.
It's next to the typewriter.
Right. And your transistor radio. Look at the shirt. See the shirt?
Number one fan.
Number one fan. That's amazing. He has that's embroidered in there. That means it can never go away.
That was done for Steve Tidmore.
There you go. Steve Tidmore.
Nice.
Yeah. So
just to let him know he's number one.
So you guys gotta meet.
Steve Tidmore from Ontario Tailgate System. He goes, I'm coming after you, Tom Beatty, be number one fan. I'm like, oh, the rivalry starts.
There it is.
Tom, too tall Tom. Perfect. Okay, first of all, thank you for coming down. We
absolutely.
If we can issue one. It's
a pleasure.
Well, I can't leave a wingman.
That's right. Thank you.
It's not Cinnamon Toast Crunch or whatever you
have. Wings are later.
Cheers. Yeah, that's right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bobby else in the shirt. All right, I'm going to take a drink. It's delicious. Mmm, good. Okay, nice. So first of all, what prompted you to come on down? And we know you watch every show. You got the shirts, the hats, tumblers. You got it all. What made you decide to come on down?
Vicky allowed me.
Okay, Vicky allowed you. Tell people who Vicky is.
Vicky's my better half, my partner.
Okay.
Vicky Applegate's home. She couldn't make it today. She wanted to be here. But I wanted to see you guys. This was a chance. It was on a weekend. I just said, Vic, I'm going to jump in the truck and take off and go.
Nice.
See you guys.
So how did you hear about us? Or how did you discover us?
Find us? You
know, that
can
started,
you ask you to turn the music down? Please ask JoJo to turn the music down. Please.
God, that started at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yep.
When everybody was basically afraid to even go out their door, I was on Facebook. And there was a page from our local track, from Bridgeport Speedway, and I was trying to find it, so I just searched under racers, and Pub Table Racer came up.
Okay.
And then from there, so I watched one show. It was Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, I liked it. It was a funny episode. So I said, I'm going to watch this again the next night and the next Tuesday.
We're still fun.
So I was addicted to it after that. Yeah, you're still fun. And sometimes you're...
We get a little dry every now and then. Right. Tim had to calm me down. You know, I'm not allowed to use all my corn jokes.
I'm glad there wasn't a height requirement. Or
you wouldn't have made, neither would you made the ride. You're too short.
Well, that's why we set it up this way.
Perfect. Yeah, so it's good. We got you the cushy chair. So you kind of just found this and started watching, and then next thing you know, you bought a hat and a shirt, and the name kept popping up, and we started talking back and forth.
Yeah, well, you started with the t-shirts and the hats, right? Which were very, it's a very cool design. And I'll tell you folks out there, if you're really into racing, this is a cool hat to have. I tested the tumbler out on the 9-hour drive here, and it still has ice in it.
Perfect.
So that's good. It's a great tumbler. And I tell all my friends who I meet new or into racing, you got to catch the show, because you guys go in, you talk to crewmen, drivers, people, just getting into the sport.
Right.
It's in-depth that you don't hear in online comms and stuff.
So, one of our things was when we started doing this was, there's other people doing these podcasts and things like that, but they're always got someone extremely famous on.
Right.
And we were talking about all the people in the sport that are unsung heroes, that have been doing this for 20, 30 years that get no recognition whatsoever. I'll use a perfect example of Billy Wilburn, and we had Billy on, and his story is phenomenal, and it's things like that. That's why we started this. It's kind of just grown from there. We've had some things.
Sure, in gambling, we get a whale.
Yeah.
They call the big hitters come in, but.
But it's usually a whale. We also someone that we've either worked for or that we know personally. Right.
Or felt sorry for.
Well, as far as I know I'm not famous, so.
You are now.
Or infamous.
You don't want to be infamous. You don't want that at all. Famous is good. Infamous is not. Well, we appreciate it, and thanks for coming down. And
absolutely.
So we're going to talk. First of all, how did you get interested in racing? I mean, everyone has.
Yeah, what's your background?
Going back to high school, my brother went for auto mechanics.
Okay.
I went for diesel mechanics. So I'm a diesel mechanic by trade. Okay. And my best friend in diesel shop, his family was actually in NHRA racing. So he kind of got me into the racing bug. And, I graduated in 82. So, yeah, with you two. Then I was dating a girl whose best friend was on a dirt track team. And I was like, even back then, women weren't really into on the teams. So she introduced me to the team, and here, the owner of the car, it was all his sisters, was the pit crew and one crew chief. So I talked to them and they said, we can really use you to come on board because you have mechanical knowledge, and just like you always said, you go on a race team, you do anything, sweep the floor,
right?
Dirt track cars need to be cleaned and
yeah.
need all this maintenance. So I came on board to do that and wound up being the jack man.
I could see that.
Yeah, sure. That's all.
Even though we had Matthew Philpott on last week.
5 foot six.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So that's one long pump of the jack and I had it up, that didn't sound right.
But, yeah, it's okay.
But,
I wasn't going to go there.
I like it already.
But more than you take the bait, you took your own bait on that one. Oh, and it's only 12:10 a.m. or p.m.
Perfect. So I was on the street stock dirt track, and we wound up winning the Bridgeport Speedway Championship 3 times.
Very
good. That really kept the bug going and going towards NASCAR. And the company I was working for, Joffre Cosmetics, which was a basically woman-owned, woman-run, very successful company, and Shauna Robinson was coming up, and she was with BAM, Bethlehem Morganstein, and she was still looking for sponsorship, so I reached out to Shauna Robinson, and I actually was going very well to get Joffre sponsorship on her car. Speaking with her, it went all the way up the corporate ladder because one person knocked it out. I'm 99% ready to have sponsorship on Shauna's car.
And so, so you said, you told me last night, like you ran this right up through the ladder, people were just, that's great, 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 great. It got to one person.
Hit all the signatures, and this one person, VP of Worldwide Marketing, knocked it down. And it really opened my eyes to see what people go through to try to get sponsorship on those cars.
Sure. How quickly you can just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I put a lot of effort into that.
Sure.
You know, going up the corporate ladder of COO, CFO, presidents. I had everybody on board, and it's a shame there's just one person's lack of vision who couldn't see a women-owned company on a woman-owned or woman driver.
Yeah.
If that car ever won, whose name is going to be
sure.
on that
right.
car?
Yeah.
You know? And it was closed mind. Several years later, I was working for Harley-Davidson, which is a woman-owned company, Barb's Harley-Davidson. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Jennifer Jo Cobb. And she called me on the phone. We had a great rapport on there talking about the racing and my background with it. And I said, I'd like to see if I can get Harley on your truck. And that started her and I communicating back and forth. So not to say that I'm always just trying to deal with women in racing, which is always nice. But moving on with Jennifer, again, I almost had that sponsorship on her truck, and just, you know, something happened within that deal, and it fell apart.
Yeah.
But it just kept me into the sport.
Right.
So from that time, when the pandemic hit and all sports were shutting down, Major League Baseball, football, everything, NASCAR was shutting down,
yeah.
you guys were starting up.
Yes.
Yep.
So that was like, oh, here's my hope to get back into something that's racing involved.
Right.
And it's a great platform. You guys throw on a great show. And I'm hooked. As you can see, I'm number one fan. Right. It took me a while, though. It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you worked on it.
You worked on it. Some people would say you bought your way, but we don't say that. But no, you're there all the time. You support. You do the funny memes for us. We talk, you know, back and forth, you and Warren and I. And, you know, it's just good because we do this. We don't know who's out there. We don't know, you know, who's listening or watching. But then what you're doing, and it's like, okay, so we got someone driving from New Jersey, and other people we run into go, oh, hey, you're the guy from the, it's kind of, it's good.
Well, it's neat to see all the replies on your show, too. You're reading all those comments. Like,
right.
you'll address a few of them, but everybody on the other side are reading
all
the comments.
Yeah,
yeah, you got, who was it, Michael, the other driver.
Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace was commenting. Yeah. You know, when you read those guys that
sure.
come on board and make comments, it just keeps you involved and keeps you interested in the show.
So George Williams, he says he wants to be like you when he grows up. Thomas 66, Vicky says, Pete, Tigu, Haynes, said one here, says Tommy.
Okay.
And Dickie Dennis says, happy to be here.
Great.
There you go.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad you signed on and subscribed to Pub just for the show. We try to watch it and stay involved. I mean, it's a really great show to watch.
And also, we're on YouTube. So go there, subscribe to our YouTube. You can do right there, and we appreciate that. So you can see past shows, and that's where we kind of do it, at the beginning and the end of it. But that's kind of like the less raw version.
And what other show celebrates the love of beer?
Yeah, you know what?
Dale Jr. does it. No, on his show. He's all talking his magic. Do you see this?
No. But the thing is, now we notice that there's more shows that are starting to enjoy beverages
right.
out there. Like, well, look at that.
Get to the back of the bus.
We're driving this thing.
Yeah,
that's
top
it.
All right.
We're the leaders.
All right. So, who are your favorite drivers?
Dale Earnhardt Sr., yeah. obviously.
Yeah.
That was my first. And then Harry Gant, handsome Harry Gant,
right.
Mr. October, Neil Bonnet. There were several. Like I said, back in this late 70s, 80s, at the high when Winston Cup was real and it was an event to go to a track. I mean,
sure.
I would get out of work on Friday afternoon and run to Dover, Delaware just to see qualifying. Qualifying was a big thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And we had practice and qualifying.
Was a big deal.
And second round qualifying
we used
to do, and, you know, motor changes and gear. It was an event for sure.
You know, Vicky and I with some friends from Logan Township, New Jersey, hey, I gave you a shout out, Eddie Gavenna and the crowd.
Right.
We went to Dover this past 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't the same feel, mainly because they still had the parking lot, everything was cut down.
Right.
You know, it was only like maybe a quarter to a half capacity.
Okay.
Right?
Were they at 25%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're still keeping the 6 foot, and you're not getting the full 70.
go to Dover, that was one of my things all the time when I'd go to Dover, go to get a good seat there, because it's.
Samples.
Yeah.
That was the place, Samples.
There was another one on one of them inlets too, where we'd go, great seafood.
We were having liquid lunch that day.
That's good too.
My brother from Vegas, hey Jim, Robert Van Norman, who worked in the sport for years, Michael Bama Williams, Warren, the tin bar is shut down, damn it, COVID.
So he's, Bama is a truck driver.
Okay, got it.
On the 22.
Okay.
And I'm glad you're watching.
Thanks, Bama.
The tin bar, do you know the tin bar in Sonoma?
No.
So there's a bar in Sonoma, a couple miles from the track that we would usually stop at on the way back to the hotel.
Right.
And what it was, it's like a guy's garage.
Okay.
It's like it's a garage with a bunch of old car parts and pieces, and it's a really small bar. The bar area is really small. Most people would either sit outside or you know. And it was, no cell phones. If you're caught on your cell phone, you have to buy the whole round.
At the bar?
Round, yes.
Oh, wow. Could you imagine that?
So, but it's a really cool place, Ernie's Tin Bar. And the last time I was there, me and some of the boys,
no names.
We drank them out of High Life. And
nice.
And then we proceeded to get into the Hams. He had Hams.
Oh, Hams beer?
Hams beer. Beer.
Wow.
Yeah, and yeah.
You were thirsty.
But yeah, it was desperate. A lot of fun, that place.
So I've been to Sonoma one time.
I hate that they shut down.
I went to Sonoma in my career one time, and I came back, and I got fired from the team on Tuesday. So that was my one trip. They started it, and it was formed. Rob Coffin was behind it. The deal they made with NASCAR, and so that guarantees it. Well, now I was reading a story the other day where teams that want to get them, they can't get their hands on them because the people that have them are holding on to them.
Right.
So Denny Hamlin had a great quote. He's like, "Look, I'm not going to spend millions of dollars." He's talking about a second team for his to go to the 23. He said, "Why do I want to spend millions of dollars when they might go away and?" 2024.
So when did they talk about them? They might go away.
They might go, but because the contract is up between.
Oh, okay.
You know, the charter. What's it called? I forgot.
The RTA.
RTA. Thank you. Almost worked there. RTA. Yeah, that deal with them. It's. I'm not saying it's going to go away. I said if it does, but it was just interesting. But I just these teams that are buying them, they lease them out for a year, and yeah. And Joe Falk's the master of moving his around.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys, they'll lease them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shell game. They didn't, to me, they don't police it good enough. And, you know, a good friend of mine, Brian Smith, he got it kind of ruined his business because of that, because of how how the shell game worked, and he didn't end up getting a charter, and he was supposed to use someone's, and, you know, they lease them to people, and to me, if it's in your hand, you should have to use it or sell it, period.
Exactly. You should have to use
it. Or forfeit it.
Right. Well, forfeit it. That's it. You're not using it.
Right.
Give it to someone else that's available.
I think the charter idea was a bad idea from the get-go.
Why is that?
When you go back to NASCAR's roots, it was one with your brung, and, as it progressed, when the speed really got up over 200, then there was the safety issues.
Right.
You know? And then they were concerned with the guys that really didn't have a lot of money in these teams to do wind tunnel testing, where the big leagues had all the time in the world to wind tunnel test and make their cars safer. I could see them making rules and limiting how much time. But to me, throwing out a charter out there, you're really screwing the little guy who wants to be a part of the sport, has enough money to bring a sanctioned car, a car that's safe, a driver that has the skills to drive. But now, if they win, they're still screwed from moving on in the standings.
So and now, without qualifying, you know, with no qualifying, because let's say you don't have a charter, and someone has to go home because the charter guarantees you a spot in the
playoffs. 36. Yeah.
It's you know. And that's kind of what I you're getting at. Like when they started that, Wood Brothers didn't have a charter,
right?
And they're in the sport for forever, and they, for whatever the reason was, I can't remember if they didn't run all the races one year, or I can't remember what happened, why they didn't get their check, they didn't get a charter.
Because, oh, they're running part-time.
They were running part-time.
That's it, so there's no reason to get
one. So, you know, if this ever gets back to where there's 50 cars that want to start a race, and, you know, I think it could very well get back to that, the way this new car is going to be.
Oh, yeah, because...
Because you're going to be able to go buy one of these cars.
Exactly. So I have a team, you have a team, you have a team. We're spending the same thing for, let's say, a fender or an engine. It's the same price. So everybody's on the budget, you know, they know what to have. Now, some of them have more sponsorship. I don't know, is that going to make you go faster? I mean, because you just have to work on them.
It's always been about money and technology.
Innovation.
It makes you go faster. Right. And, you know, at some point in time, someone will figure something out with this car, and it'll be fast, you know. Whoever figures it out first.
I bet you.
Well,
you'll figure something out.
I would love to do that.
You were good, you know, when you had to do cowls and stuff like that.
Right.
He'll figure it out. He just has to remember it. Yeah,
that's what I got other people working with me for.
Remember what I said the other day?
No.
I can't count on anybody to remember what I said last
time. Yeah, at any rate, I think the way this new car is going to be, you're going to want to have as many teams as they let you, first of all. And I almost think that they might open up, NASCAR might open up the door and say, hey, you know, we're going to let, you know, they might let other teams have five cars in their stable or more, just to get the car count up, you know, and to get more people watching, you know, because of more sponsorship on cars, you know.
So I found this interesting, so it made me think of the charter thing. There was only 38 cars in Charlotte for the 600. The home area of NASCAR here.
Right.
And there was not a full field. So these teams that are local, to get there, the travel there was reduced, but to still, I just thought, I was just kind of like 38 in the home, in the backyard.
And what's weird about that is they actually had qualifying. So if there would have been,
42.
You know, if there would have been another whatever amount of cars there, it wouldn't have been a big deal to go home from there as it would be to go home from Sonoma.
Sure.
Because it's in your backyard, you know.
But I think the thing is that...
And you get to qualify.
But you know you're in, so it's not, the qualifying was done, not if you made the race, it's where you're going to start.
Right.
Strictly, back in the day, it was, you know, who got home.
Yeah.
There was used to be 6, 7, 8 names down there.
Yeah. I mean, there was, I think I can remember one year at Daytona, there was 57 cars.
That's right.
You know, and you know, people went home. That was just the way it was.
Yeah. If you didn't make the qualifying speed, you missed it.
Favorite track, Tom?
Favorite track. And I've been to just about everyone on the East Coast.
Okay.
Charlotte is one of my favorites. Humpy Wheeler always put on a great show. The 600, it was always fantastic because it was serviceman related, and he always put on a show for the fans. That's always
great. Yeah, you know? He had a production there.
Yeah,
it was
a show.
It was a show.
Sure.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that seat bought you fans that were excited for the show. And it started with like half hour, 45 minutes before they even talked about the national anthem and you know, doing that, because you knew there was something going to happen.
Yeah, there was cannons and people flying out of airplanes and everything.
People rappelling out of helicopters.
A
driver coming in by helicopter from Indy.
Yeah.
I remember, like, what was it, Stewart came in with that, Robbie Gordon came in. And I just remember those were some of the cooler moments there.
Yeah.
Favorite track? Did you like to watch? You don't have to have been to.
Daytona's one. Okay. Pocono's too big. It's like once they go into the turn or Long Pond, it's like, when are they coming out?
Yeah.
What is it? 2.5 miles to 2 miles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, unless you're in the right spot, you can't see Pocono. Yeah. Dover's my home track, which is going through the changes, going from asphalt to concrete jungle to, you know.
Dover to me is like Bristol on steroids.
Exactly.
You know, it's that high bank, super fast, and you know, it reminds me of Bristol, but a mile. You know,
like but when you go to that turn, you're literally dropping down two stories. The cars go off of, you know, turn one like that. So that's cool. Okay.
Richmond was always fun to go to.
I like Richmond night racing.
Right.
Richmond was always good to attend. the one thing I loved about Charlotte was the state police always had their game on. You could have 100,000 fans, and you're out back at your hotel or on your way home.
Oh, traffic.
Traffic and parking was is always, they did always a phenomenal job.
I'm like Kentucky fantastic. When they first opened.
Yeah, there's people, racers, who couldn't even get in
time to.
Yeah.
It just came to the top of my head. I don't know how bad that used to be.
Well, they figured it out.
They figured
out
quickly because people were buying tickets.
We only let them come in one way. We only let them go out one way.
Exactly. Hey, there you go. Best way to do it. Let's talk about road courses. And this, people watching, we want to hear from you as well. Road courses, there's 6 of them now on the schedule. In the past, they used to bring in ringers. I was never a big road course fan until Dale Earnhardt, with a broken collarbone, sat on the pole at Watkins Glen. I went, what's this all about?
So I'm a huge road course fan. I love it. I love the road courses.
Okay, so what is it you like about it?
So I just like it because, to me, it's more about the driver than the car.
Right.
That's in my opinion. I mean, you still have to have a good car.
Sure.
There still is setups and things involved, but I like it because I think different guys can win. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Chase Elliott doesn't win.
Again, that would be what, seven out of 8 or something like that?
But he's really good at it.
He's good.
You know, I mean, Bill was good at it, so, but I like to think that, when we would have the ringers come in.
What Boris said, Ron Fellows.
When we worked at DEI, Ron Fellows would come and drive our car, and it was always exciting to watch him drive that car because he could take it to another level. Mm-hmm. Than some of our other guys who weren't that versed in road courses.
Oh, Max Pappas, and I've only brought up his road courses. But then it became the road courses, the ringers, they went away.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden,
it was hard to, the cup guys, but a lot of them figured it out. Right. They spent more time on it.
Right.
Road racing is about putting your time into, because every corner.
Forgot who this guy is. If you forget, it's right there, stitched in there.
I'm not a number one fan of road courses.
Okay.
And that's fine. That's cool.
Fine. That's good.
It all depends on the type of course. You've got the newer road course that's getting wider that allows for some passing.
Right.
And then the older road courses that are not really made for NASCAR.
For these big cars.
The cars can't pass.
Right.
And then you figure that the top 10 back then that qualified are the ones, unless they had a blowout engine failure or the transmission fell out of the car, that's how they're, one of those are going to win.
Right.
Because they're really limited on how they can pass.
And a strategy, it turns into that, right?
Yeah. And I was never a big fan of it. I mean, I'll be a big fan if they ever make a figure eight. Somebody ever comes up with the idea and the money to make a figure eight, an elevated track.
And it wasn't a figure eight, but the very first Roval they had at Charlotte.
Yes.
And, when we went there and our cars were getting destroyed in practice,
yes.
And there was like a jump. One of the drivers said, they ought to just put a ramp on the back and let's just have a jump we have to make.
Sure.
Let's jump some barrels or something.
Yeah, they were tearing off. They remember they had to move the wall. They had to take out all the walls. Yeah, they were just ripping
stuff. They were destroying stuff.
Yeah. Well, the safety's come a long way for them, too, because, J.D. McDuffie.
Yes.
Watkins Glen.
Watkins
Glen. Tires back then.
Yeah.
When you look at the road courses, thank God safety's gotten a lot better, and they've really looked at the tracks because the drivers.
And the cars too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They do this for a living, and they're doing it because they love racing, and on the fan aspect, we love the racing, but we got it. They made the racing safer for them to live it, to race another day.
Right.
Right.
But I don't know. So on.
Okay.
Road.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Anybody out there, we want to hear from you. Like them, love them, loathe them. What do you like? I started when I realized, went into them mechanically, technology, and you're pitting on the opposite side and how the crews and Watkins Glen was 2 hours from my house. I never went there when I lived in Buffalo until I moved down here and started working in the sport, and then I went to Watkins Glen. Love Watkins Glen. Beautiful, great track.
It's also, I don't know if you've ever been to a road race, but you
just
know,
say he hates them.
They're set up where you can walk around.
Yeah.
You know, where you can get around the whole track. Yeah. You know, and usually that, you know, like I'm from Wisconsin, so Road America, when I was a kid growing up, my dad would take me there, and it was, to me, it was so much fun to be able to, you didn't just have to sit in your seat and watch the cars, you know, you could go watch in Canada Corner, you could go watch in Turn 5, you could go, you know, there was, you know, and you could turn it into a picnic almost. You know, a lot of people would camp, right? I mean.
Trackside like that.
Right.
So George Williams.
I'm awake.
Are we all awake now? Here he goes. George
Williams. If I don't have a beer.
This would be just the show land.
You know, I got a guy like Bama's watching.
Exactly.
You know what kind of shit I'm going to catch?
It's forest gas with no ice in the bucket.
Well, but I bring them cold.
Yeah. I just got a drink fair.
Welcome to the team. George Williams, who's a top fan, is right here, says, I think I will love Coda when it's your Circuit of the Americas.
And you know, I did some road racing when I was younger.
Okay, I want to bring up. So you raced where?
I raced at Road America.
Okay, tell us some strategy. Okay, where else?
There was some other smaller places, Blackhawk Farms, one place was good. Those are the main, those are the biggest places that I've ever raced.
And so you drove SCCA
Formula 440s. There, it's a small car with a snowmobile engine in it.
Perfect.
About 130 mile an hour.
Nice. So what was it, Road America? What was your secret there for the start of the race?
Road America.
This is great.
And this is when I had to start in the back because I had some mechanical issues. So Road America, you go up, there's a hill. And as you're going up the hill, only the front guys can see the flagman. And you can't pass until the flag is waved.
Right.
So I had a friend of mine at the time stand up on a bridge where the flagman was, and because I was in the back, and she had one of those pink hats, and when the flag was waved, she waved her pink hat, and then I knew I could go. She's my wife now. I had to marry her because I
was she can help me. So, so what did you do? You just took off your pass.
So yeah, and everybody's like, "Where's he going? How does he know?" You know, I passed 10 cars at the start of the race because I figured that out. You know, I'm like, no one can see that fragment. So.
That's right.
Honey,
I bought you a nice hat. Here's what you do with it. Okay? You bought me a hat. Oh, there's a reason. Okay, that's awesome. And I married her. That's awesome. What do we have? Obama says, drink Wisconsinable. Nothing
Wisconsinably.
Nothing else matters.
That's
nice.
True.
Nice, Bam. Appreciate
that. Like
Bam, are you sitting in your truck in a parking lot somewhere?
What time is it? Yeah, it's what, 8:30 in the morning out there? California.
I think they just got there yesterday, maybe too. I don't know.
That's a fun trip. Not really. So road courses, we'll hear from you guys. We'd like to know what you think of them. Which favorite road course? Like them. If you don't like them, let us know why, and we'll talk about it. That's what we're here for today. Once again, it's Tom Beatty, our number one fan, all the way from New Jersey. Drove down yesterday, and was going to come down and want to be on the show. I said, "Perfect, come on down."
Yeah.
We just couldn't have like a guest with all the hundreds of people sitting out here. We're at Lake Norman Patio and Game Room.
We're happy to see you
in Mooresville. There's some seats left if you hurry down. All of them.
That's the extent of my
They're all for sale. What's that?
I would race down the exit expressway, Route 95, down the Schuylkill River. But then, you know, the police changed the things. They used to just take your beer. Now they want your driver's license.
Right.
And
trying, right.
You know. Except for racing changed.
They used to take your beer.
Yeah. They used to be
soft. Please step out of the vehicle, sir.
It's too tall to step out. It's 3 feet up, 3 feet back down. Here you go. Here's the beer.
I always like when they pull you over and I go, "You're going to check in the trunk, are you?" That just throws them off real quick. All right. So you, what were we talking about?
I had a story about the trunk.
Can we tell?
So yeah. So when I was I was in high school and we were going to a concert, you know, because you were talking about beer and Trump. So we were on our way to Alpine Valley. We had a quarter keg in the trunk of my buddy's car, and it was this land yacht. It was a Electra 225, big, you know, huge Buick, and we ran the line through the back seat from the trunk So we could pour beers while we were going down the road, and then if we got pulled over,
sure,
we would just put the line back.
Sure, because you know who thinks about that?
The mobile carburetor. You had any idea? And
it was on ice.
Oh
back
my gosh! Here. Now see, so when I met Evel Knievel, in Florida, he had a nice Mercedes, and he was on oxygen at the time, but he kept it. He said he had the line come up through the car, and he goes, he said, yeah, I put this in, I just pop my oxygen and I keep the tank in the back. He goes, hope I never get hit in the ass, I'm just gonna blow all that out. And I said, everything you've been through, Evel, this would be the way you go. Think about that. He goes, right. Yeah, but he that was innovative, so it just reminded me of the.
So another friend of mine had a car. Wisconsin is typically known for rusted out. You know, we use a lot of road salt and so it was an old Monte Carlo. And in the back seat, the floorboards were rusted out, but he had rubber mats over the floors.
Sure.
And I mean, you could literally see the road. And we got pulled over one evening, and we put all of our stuff, you know, through the rubber mat on the ground. It was snow. There was snow on the ground. And the cop let us go. And when we drove away, we looked back, and there's two piles of beer cans sitting there.
Nice.
And this man has won championships and worked on Daytona 500 winning cars. And that's
it was the same car. And this is it was the same car. It's called SS Minnow. He's painting it on the side.
Nice.
And he drove through a puddle of water, and like at 60 mile an hour, and it blew those floor mats up. And the two of us that were sitting in the back, it was like a spray, a water spray came up through the floor and just doused us in this nasty, you know, road water. You know.
Perfect.
Yeah, you know.
Nice. Vicky, your girlfriend says, here, hold my beer. perfect.
Nice.
All right, so you've been involved in racing. We talk about this. Racing from old days, racing today. What is a couple things you like or things you might change of today's racing?
Because you're old school,
because you know.
Tell us what you might like about what they've done with some things, and tell us what you hate how they've done with some of the things. Because we all have that.
Sure. The point system's my pet peeve, right? You know, of how
you don't like the chase.
No, I don't like the
you
chase.
You like the old.
If they're gonna have the chase, don't stop. Okay, it used to be the Gillette halfway mark at $50,000 to $100,000 for being the first to cross the line at halfway, but you kept racing.
Right.
So if you're going to have
the stages,
stage race, don't make them stop. Keep them running. So I'm sure the teams and the owners love. There's another set of tires, and there's more fuel, and there's, you know, it created more expense to the team stopping on those stages.
I kind of agree with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
That ain't a bad idea. Yeah, you have a stage.
Sure.
You're going to give out points. You're going to give out stuff for winning that points at that stage.
Still do it, yeah.
But leave it green, like you say, and people still are going to have to stop.
Eventually,
You know, you got to still get tires and fuel,
and that's part of the strategy,
right?
So you're saying just keep going, and let's say your fuel runs 62.
You know why they do that, Tom?
Why do they do that, Tom?
To bunch everybody back up,
right? Take a good restart.
Yeah. I'll punch this. You know, the teams are setting up the cars for short sprints. They know if it's 50 laps, 60 laps, or something like that, they're shorting it. They're setting it up for those runs. You know, instead of setting it up like it was the old school for that 400 laps or those 500 miles, just make those stages cross the line. All right, he won it. He got the points. Game on. Keep going.
I mean. So there's two strategies for that setup, because we do it both ways. Some of our crew chiefs will do it one way, some of them do it the other way, where you want to set it up for because you know that typically there might be a caution. So I'll say it like this. We had the year Joey won the championship in 18, that car was set up to run 30 laps.
That's it.
That was about it. But it was fast. We were a second faster than Truex.
Really?
For that stint. And if there's not a caution at the end of that race, we probably don't win. Because there was a caution at the end, we had to come and get tires, and Joey was gone. You know, so it's a strategy again of how some of them guys do it. I understand what you're saying about the long grueling run of the race. But you know, you can't. Some cars and some drivers, you think you got a long run set up, and it just doesn't. It never doesn't work out that way. You know, it's just. It's how the guy might drive.
It's easy to Toyota punch.
You know, like,
they don't recognize them.
Okay, so I'm okay with the playoffs. Sorry, Chuck. If you don't make it, you know, you're out. I mean, because it's like other sports, you know. Hockey has best of seven, baseball best of seven, football you're done, but so you're progressing. I like the drama building. At the end, there's four guys, you know, one race to decide it, and who's in and who's out. But I think if you're talking about doing the stages, but just keep going, that would probably be, I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. I don't mind it. Okay. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Because you're still running.
I do remember the Gillette halfway point too.
$10,000, halfway over that halfway.
Let's get Gillette back into it. Yeah. Let's call Mike Helton.
Well, no, like, Gillette can't get back in because most of the drivers are young, they don't shave.
Baby face
pumps, you know? Not a lot of them, that way. All right, so what are the things you do like about that?
What are the things I still do? I love the fact of racing itself.
Okay.
You know, that'll never leave, you know. I still like to see the cars trying to race as fast as they can with what they have. I mean, NASCAR throws in, you know, now they're bringing in fuel injection. Before it was the carburetor and the plate.
Right.
You know, they're in the restrictor
plate. Now we have the tapered spacer.
Yeah. You know, being a mechanic, you know, those things always interest me, you know, how they make the cars go better or what they're allowed to do with it.
Right.
So I'm always still interested in that. And I always still love to see the comments online of people saying, I'm giving up on NASCAR, but they're still watching.
They're still watching, still coming. I'm done. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things, because you're a mechanic, I don't necessarily like what they do with our engines, because we have motors that could make 850 horsepower and they choke them down to 550, you know, and to me, you're taking a, you know, that could, you could go to Randy Marion and you could go order a motor that'll make 550 horsepower. That'll run 500 miles wide open, no problem. And I don't like the fact that they take this piece of technology that Doug Yates and has put in his heart and soul in, and turn it into a crate motor. You know, now we do take those same engines and take that tapered spacer off. It's not even the same engine, I'm sure.
Right.
But and then it's 750 horsepower. You know, which that's still somewhat limited. You know.
There's a question I've always wanted to ask you. Do they still build the cars front steer, rear steer?
No, all of our cars are, everybody's pretty much on the same thing. We're all front steer.
Yeah. We are live here, Pump Table Racers at Lake North Canyon.
And the new car will have a rack and pinion. Sorry, Tim.
Really? Where are we?
We're at Lake North Patio and Game Room. Folks, there's a foosball table downstairs right now.
$500.
Yep, that's normally $1,000.
Only $1,000. It comes with.
I just did your deal.
That's fine. No, it took you a year and a half and you finally did it.
I know Vicky's saying, just say no.
Oh, yeah, the foosball. I know, we got some stuff for you to worry about.
If I had room in my man cave, right. I'd probably have that thing down there for $500.
That's fine. I'd rather have the tabletop hockey. Who's Lori Beatty Garden
Hire? That's my sister.
She lives
my where? Sister.
She the one lives in Lakeland? This is
no.
Okay, I thought I saw one of your relatives living in Lakeland or something, Florida.
Oh, that's my aunt.
Your aunt,
Helen.
Okay, yeah. So I was just looking at the names of it. Because I went to college. I tried to go to college at Florida Southern. Too many rules and I really wasn't ready for it. So I joined the Navy.
I went to college once.
That happens. You went to college once. Was it for a party?
Yeah, there was a guy on a hockey team.
Right.
And at the dorm, it wasn't at the dorm, at their frat house, they were mixing a garbage can full of booze with their hockey sticks.
See, you just don't get this information on any other show.
Some people call it PJ, party
PJ,
juice,
party juice, garbage,
purple Jesus,
juice, party,
we
garbage
call it
Wapatui. Wapatui. Perfect. Marsha Bowe says hi.
Hey, Marsha, the owner of Cedarvale Winery. Uh-huh. If you're ever in Logan Township, New Jersey, stop by Cedarvale. I'm giving her a plug.
Well, go for it. I like it.
Cedarvale Winery. See, Ed and Marsha get better.
Right.
Love them.
That'll be $500.
Are you in a commercial somewhere in your
past?
You just seem to like rattle these commercials, these mentions, like almost like a commercial.
I, I can roll.
Nothing wrong with that. We do it all the time. Perfect. What else we got to talk about here? We good?
What do we have to cover? Was there anything you wanted
to? I think we covered everything, but you know, the thing is, we.
Do we know who's starting on a poll for next year?
This has been on there the whole time. It's a lot of scribbles.
These are my notes. That's it.
You ain't reading that.
No, that's it. So it's all I take the notes, and then the rest we just kind of wait.
It's like shorthand, but Tim hand.
Sometimes I have to go, I wrote that.
You'd have to get drunk to read that.
No, that's how it starts.
That's what my handwriting looks like, Esther.
Yeah. You give me a laptop and a typewriter, I'm fantastic. I know. I'm good with that.
I'm not. I'm.
Who's, Pete, I'll tee you. Oh, here we go, Mark. Thanks, Tom, for the plug. Marsha is laughing. You won't keep laughing when you get the bill. Marsha, it's okay. Great show, Vicky says. That's awesome. Vicky into racing, or did you kind of drag her along? Or?
No.
Was she into it?
She was a Gordon fan.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. She had never been
Wonder
to Dover.
Never took her to Dover. So you took her to Dover.
Right. So it was her, like I said, it was her first time at Dover, but the whole experience of a real full capacity NASCAR race wasn't there.
Okay.
But she said she's open to go to another track.
Perfect.
Now that we got to fix the scanner, we had to borrow my friend Steve's. Luckily, he had two headsets, and we all tapped into his scanner.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, we had a scanner issue there.
That's all right. You got to get the scanner.
You want to hear them.
You got to hear what's going on.
You want to hear the colorfulness of the language
and nowadays. F-bombs and the yelling and talking, arguing.
So
2 minutes, they're like, "You're good? Yeah, I'm good. Let's go." It's like,
Vicky is getting into photography, so
I'll picture that.
Her chance to go on a road trip and see the sights and see the people.
Very good.
You know, I could go watch the whole race and she's still talking to people and taking pictures.
Good.
You know,
perfect.
But she'll get involved the more I take her to more races. Plus, we have the dirt track I haven't taken her to yet.
So one more thing. What do you think of this new car that's coming?
All right, good question.
How do you feel about what they're doing with this?
First
of all, let me ask you, do you understand what they're doing? This is a complete, the complete car is built by other manufacturers other than a NASCAR team.
Right.
And it pretty much is it's a kit almost that you're going to buy, and it's assembled. You're going to assemble it. I keep telling the guys, I don't even think we're going to need a welder.
Really?
Really. Like, I don't even think we're going to need to...
An entire bolt-on car.
It's an entire assembled, bolt-together car.
I can work on it.
If you can thread a nut to a bolt,
I can work on it.
You probably could.
I could become a car builder.
Depends how fast you can do it.
Well, that's another story.
That's going to be...
It's a Christmas item, Vicky. So, it's Christmas.
So what I'm getting at is everybody really is going to have the same components and the same... the only things that will be different will be the seat, because of the driver, and that will be the engines. But if you're Ford, you're going to get a Ford. If you're Toyota, obviously you get a Toyota. Chevy, you get a Chevy. But everything else on that car will be the same for everyone. You know, right now we build our own oil tanks. We build our own uppers. We build our own lowers.
Now it's all going to come to you.
Right.
It's shipped in, and you go to the parts department.
Yeah.
I am very old school, so I'm trying to stay open-minded in this. You know, when they first announced the center lug, one lug,
right?
You know, that just set a firestorm off to all the old school. I said, well, you know what? It is the five lug. It was always about, you know, zipping them on, the timing and all that. But I don't know if...
You don't know how much one of them guys make, and it's ridiculous. Let me tell you that.
Not only that, but
and I know a lot of them. I'm not beating up on them, but because they're making it because the owners pay them to do it. So
and they've trained and all that. Yeah.
I'm trying to keep the core fans that have been fans for 20, 30, 40 years, trying to keep them open-minded and in the sport.
Right.
Because even when we go back to full capacity, we've been losing fans,
sure.
And that's not great.
So
because I think the younger crowd's just not into it.
Because they're not into cars, they're not working on cars, they're not doing like we did.
So you know,
they ran a tap on a starter.
It's no passing it down.
It's kind of like this car is going to be more stock, not stock from Randy Marion or stock from Chevrolet or from.
Right.
For it's going to be more stock
within the sport
for everybody within the sport. Yeah. Okay. Because I heard someone say, we're going to get back to more of our stock roots, and I didn't agree with that. But now when I think about it, yes, it is. It's more box stock for everybody. But actually, in my opinion, when we were able to do more, with what we were handed, not less, the racing, and it was, it's always about the same,
right.
But the competition was better. I'll say it like that, right? You know, one of a good friend of mine, crew chief, said one time, he said, the reason that Jeremy Mayfield was able to win a race, you know, at Penske Krennifus was because they put him in a better car. He was not a better driver than Dale Earnhardt.
Car was, right.
That car was better than what Dale had. You know, and it, unless you, you know, I always said, if Danica could have been back in those days, they might have been able to win her a race.
Right.
If you can make the car that much more superior, then a less superior driver is able to win. And I think that makes the sport better. Because then an underdog can win, right?
Okay, and the one thing I hope that you said, competition, I hope that there, I mean, it's competitive, but there's been a lot of strung out races, like,
right.
You know, these guys. I don't want to go back to the old days where three cars finished on the lead lap. I mean, that's,
I
don't want that. I mean, we had last couple weeks, so we had, what, seven or eight finish on the lead lap?
If the cars are all equal, right?
Sure.
If the cars are all equal, like, let's say a lot of people compare it to IROC, right?
Right, IROC.
And there was still always a couple of about a half a dozen guys in IROC that dominated.
Sure.
You know, there's it wasn't, you know, when you go to a road course, Little Al would be fast. When you go to Daytona or Michigan, it would be Mark Martin or Dale Earnhardt would be fast. You know what I mean? Little Al wouldn't go to Michigan and necessarily beat them guys because they know how to do it, you know, and you know.
Well, it's the same spin, you know, in the IROC, if you throw a Steve Kinzer into it,
right.
He's from the dirt world. Maybe he was never hitting 180 and being draft racing,
right.
And passing. You know, he always, you know, had to throw his car around.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And then you throw those drivers on a dirt track and Steve would be kicking their butts.
Right.
So you got to have an open mind to it and you just hope that it makes the sport better because
right.
Really it's unknown territory. They really don't know how it's going.
The cream still will rise to the top.
You know,
I mean, that's my opinion.
Well,
you know, you're going to see when it gets more equal who the talented guys really are.
If it doesn't, I'm just going to take over NASCAR. I'm going to march right into
that's
the
good.
Home office
you're
and say,
walking,
hey, you and the
other
seat,
team, number one
team
t-shirt on, yeah. And bucket of beer under your arm and go, hey, you, this is how we're going to do it around.
And security asked, I said, they sent me. just go on there Tuesday nights with those guys.
Those guys.
Hey, I bet you, I challenge you, you wouldn't do this.
Well, speaking of IROC, we have a taste of what that could look like. You get an SRX starting next Saturday.
Yeah.
I am very much looking forward to watching that.
I'm a little bit excited about that one, too. He's putting together a lot of good sponsors.
Yes, that. Camping World just got named
yep.
a sponsor. I see Sparco has the uniforms,
yep.
the luggage and everything, but I think CBS is behind it, CBS Sports. And it might be a litmus test for them to go, hey, let's see how we do with this. Maybe we get NASCAR back again. I don't know, just saying. But you have all those different drivers. You have, you know, Willie T. Ribbs. You have
yep. Haley Deegan's going to drive.
Haley
right
Deegan's going to be in two of the races.
Michael Waltrip.
Yep. And Michael Waltrip, Bobby Labonte.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing all these different guys get out there and race against each other.
That'll be fun. It's going to be.
There's no such thing as a friendly competition.
And they're going to be shorter.
Yeah.
You know,
2 hour shows.
Yeah.
Two or three heats and three heats, I think. And
yeah.
You go to the feature and. It's over in 2 hours.
It'd be a little bit easier to
sure.
pay attention to.
What are they doing? They're starting on at Stafford, then they're going, they have Eldora, Nashville, Knoxville, Slinger.
Slinger.
They're going to Slinger. That's a quarter mile
that's,
track.
That is like Bristol, but smaller.
Smaller, right. That'll be good. So
I've actually made a lap around there, and a buddy of mine's 1970 Buick GS. It was after the race was over.
Yeah.
And he decided he wanted to take his car out on the track and
sure.
his lap. He ended up getting a bolt in his tire. Like,
well, that's what you get when you wear
it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You ever notice he goes back to Buick? It was an old Buick.
Yeah.
Well,
it
didn't save
him. Built like a tank.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn it in like
this. Was the same guy, I think, that owned that other Buick.
Oh,
and maybe his parents had him. I don't know.
Perfect.
But he had a Buick GS convertible.
Perfect. All right. We're at the top of the hour. Tom. Thank you so very much.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you and your support. Tuning in, telling people about us. It's great how you found us. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anybody
the watching? Pandemic.
Yeah, because what were some doing?
The damn pandemic.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? One day you, here you are sitting with us, and now you're the number one fan, and you're the guest of honor today.
Thank you.
Did a special show.
Thank you for having me on.
No, our pleasure.
We're going to go get some wings.
Going through some wings?
There we go. Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. All right. Everybody, have a good one. We appreciate you. We are still here, well, at Lake Norman Patio Game Rooms. Come on down. Great furniture, outdoor decked furniture. Game room downstairs. Tom went and checked it out. There's some great pool tables, foosball, tabletop hockey. Come on down and check them out. Thank you, Brad. Get cornhole boards down there. Yeah. And even the
guitar.
Guitar, if you want. No, I'm not
going to
play it.
Elvis is now in the building.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. All right. Appreciate everybody. I'm not going to crack my beer, so should we say good afternoon, Dick?
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon,
Dick. Thank you. Oh, the crowd goes wild. Right. Have a good one, everybody.
Easy. I'm back.
Wow. Hey, another great show.
Great
Thank
show.
Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night. And Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching.
Right. And we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And it's just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people. And we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.